We talk about food. We talk about music with musical dudes. Finger on the pulse, snacky tunes.
Hello, and welcome to Snacky Tunes. I am your host, DJ Never Forget, as Terry Diabolik fades down the gossip.
It's faded.
That's a nice fade. What was that, a cross fade?
No, that was just...
High fade, low fade?
High to low. Because the music was high. Took it a low. Never Forget, I see you're rocking a sweater.
It's cold. It became not even just like fall. It just became like winter.
Yeah.
Which is
fine.
The loft is cold. It is like cold. Anyway, welcome to Snacky Tunes.
Snacky Tunes, Monday, 2 p.m., HeritageRadioNetwork.com.
We're your host, Finger on the Pulse. We've got a great show today.
It is great.
It's great. A little heavy.
It's a big week for us.
Would you like to introduce our guests? You can take one, I'll take the other. You can pick.
To the left of me.
You have to think about that.
Well, I
you wanna hold up the hands?
Like hold this. On to the left. Okay. Left of me is the lovely, the beautiful, the pastry bound Justine D.
Hello.
Yes. by the way, voice for radio, face for everywhere.
Ooh.
Darren, thank you.
Darren.
Wow.
And to the right of me, I have Michael Peon from the New York City Coalition Against Hunger.
You got it right.
Yes. Hello.
Hey.
You look surprised about that pronunciation of the last name.
Well, I asked him like 3 minutes ago.
Okay, that's great.
But Justine will be DJing later, and Mike will be chatting with us in a little bit about the Craig Murphy fundraiser we have coming up, and a little bit about what the NYC COA does for the city. But this weekend,
I mean, it's tough to come on here every week and say that every weekend was top five. But if you keep having great weekends, then the lower ones get knocked out.
This actually had to be one of the best weekends I've ever had in New York City. And then also makes for my case of why I'm leaving New York City for Halloween, because this was just a regular weekend.
Regular weekend.
I mean, a lot of stuff happened, but it was just, you know, it wasn't like a big holiday weekend. So I can't imagine Halloween. I'm just to clue our guests in, they're going to make me feel like I legitimately hate being here for like Halloween, New Year's, because I feel like people party already hard.
Justine, like, you know what it's like to have like people come in.
I feel the same now. I mean, I've worked the past 10 Halloweens and 10 New Year's.
I think during my junior year of college, I trucked into New York for Don Hill's Rated X Halloween with Burning Angels. Does that sound about right?
That sounds right, although I wasn't a part of that, but yeah.
Okay, but I mean, let's just say, if I trucked into the city and what I did, that's why I want to leave.
No, I mean, and when, and truth be told, whenever I was in college, or wait, like for New Year's and stuff, I would always come to New York and it'd be loud and crazy, and I'd be like, you know, a mess and drunk and yelling.
I don't want to
deal with that. I wouldn't want to deal with 21-year-old me now. So okay. I mean, if that makes sense, that come across. Anyway, so this weekend started off with The Gossip playing a sold out Terminal 5 show, which was amazing. The first time I saw them was when they were opening for White Stripes in Boston 8 years ago.
Oh, look at this guy!
But to see them come all
the record store in Seattle, like no, it's yeah. And the last time I saw them was at what was that fashion store in Austin that did that? JDH and Dave P did all those after hours parties for for South by.
Factory People.
The last time I saw them was playing, and they were about to play Standing in the Way Control, and the cops shut it down, and they were harassing Beth. It was, you know, that's like, I was like, oh, The Gossip is huge now, and there's like 100 people here. Cut to Friday night, and they owned it.
Terminal 5 fits 3,000, is it?
Yeah.
That's huge.
To the rafters. And she stopped during the show to sign autographs and to break up a fight of some man who called a couple there the C word. Oh, yeah.
The C word. I think I know which word you're referring to.
We're on the internet, but we still can't even say that C word. But it was a fantastic night. And then
we ran into some people. I mean, then we had a nice little New York moment. We ran into some people as we were exiting who had seen us. But I'm just saying, DJ. We went and had drinks on 58th. And then we went, I don't even know.
No one needs to know about our entire weekend. Mom and Dad came in the next day. Happy 60th birthday, Dad. And we took him out to the Sweet Food and Wine Festival where we DJ'd. And Guy Fieri gave us the international DJ sign, which is the right hand to the ear and the left hand doing the air record scratch. Which
for all of you who don't know, Guy Fieri
is the host of Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives.
P.S.
Right.
He was wearing the sunglasses hooked to the back of the ears. It's gone beyond just for the show. It's like.
No, but he always. I mean, and the scuttlebutt today is that on Saturday Night Live, Bobby Moynihan riffed him pretty tough on a cooking segment. It's everywhere. If you look at eater.com, you can see the clip we're talking about.
And then to wrap it all up, I mean, there's other things that were amazing. Oh, Flashing Lights, which we talked about last.
Oh, yes. Big shout out to DJ Ayers, Flashing Lights, Catch Dubs, Jess Jubilee. Congratulations. 1 year.
1 year anniversary.
Dim Sum Restaurant. Have you been to that party?
I haven't, but a friend of mine was going on Saturday night.
That's pretty close.
I'm friends of a friend of a person who saw the flyer in their email.
Saw the building.
But it was pretty amazing. It went till about 5, and then the people from the restaurant just came in and turned the lights on, started setting up tables for food service.
Dim sum.
So, and then kind of just pull the weekend together, we ate dinner last night at DBGB, which was interesting because that's our actual initials. So when we went to go meet a friend there, I was like, are you making some weird comment about let's cook dinner at home?
Well, it wasn't just a friend. It was Patrick.
Oh, yeah, Patrick.
From Heritage.
Right.
Thank you so much for dinner.
Yeah, it was nice. But it was great. We had
sausages.
And pig's head.
Pied de cochon. Pig's foot.
And
best
pig's
thing
foot.
We had.
It was good. And the desserts there are really good, too. And really good beers, too. So overall, it was just, the whole weekend was... And then I watched Mad Men and went to bed.
So is the whole goal of getting a radio show and building up a small following is just to tell people what we've done? Because, I mean, I'm interested.
Yeah. So, anyway, we have a really good show. I had a really good weekend. I felt really, really good. And we had some great news that we can share in a few weeks about Dinner with the Band and things like that.
Which premieres November 24th on IFC.
Anyway, so we are... So Darren, or Terry, as I like to call him on the radio show, is going to play a song, and then we're going to be back with Michael from the New York City Coalition Against Hunger. All right, you are listening to Snacky Tunes. We are your host, Finger on the Pulse. Who was that?
Dropkick Murphys. I'm shipping up to Boston in honor of our beloved and departed friend, Craig Murphy, who we still miss and love very much. And
so about almost two years ago this Sunday, our friend Craig was hit and killed in a bike accident right around where we used to live, which is pretty tough because his ghost bike was right around the corner from where we lived. But Craig was an amazing, amazing man. At 26, he had probably done more good for the people of New York City than most of us probably will do in our lifetime. And we're happy to have Michael Pione from the New York City Coalition Against Hunger on air with us today. Welcome.
Hey, hey.
And he currently will tell us about the position you hold and a little bit about the organization.
Sure. Well, the Coalition Against Hunger is a food security, which is just a big word for making sure that everybody has access to affordable, good food, can feed their families and themselves. We're a food security advocacy and organizing group. So we work on behalf of people who are food insecure, having trouble feeding their families, to get better social policy in place, mobilizing them in communities so that we can provide food for all people in New York City and beyond. We do a lot of federal and state work as well.
So Craig was kind of a big part in getting this in place, correct?
Yeah.
You want to tell people a little bit about like the outreach and what steps he took in the beginning to kind of ensure how we got from, you know, where he started to where you are today?
Sure, yeah. I'll tell the story. I think he came from Boston to New York doing an AmeriCorps year, and I think that's how he came to the Coalition Against Hunger. So he was doing a year of service where he was working in West Harlem to organize community food programs, organize faith leaders, and bring them all to the table, share their resources, and get them working on community-based solutions to making sure that everybody has enough food. So he did that for a year, and then the year ends, and a lot of people in AmeriCorps, they kind of just drop off, and there's not enough funding to continue the work. You build up all this stuff, and then it kind of drops away. But he actually fundraised for himself. You know, he wrote his own grant and got some money to stick around for a while. And so he was doing that for a year in West Harlem after that, and I think shortly after that was when he was tragically killed.
Yeah, Craig and I used to lament about our high rewards, low paying jobs. I believe that in retrospect, his job was a little bit more high reward than mine. Mine was pretty self indulgent. But so since then, since his untimely death, we've done this fundraisers for to actually just raise money for the salary for the, what is the official name of the position?
The Craig Murphy Fellow for Neighborhood Anti-Hunger Network Building.
So it's really simple.
Rolls off the tongue.
Rolls off the tongue. Very concise. But the annual goal is, I believe, $25,000, correct, for the salary?
That's correct.
A paltry sum for a big job, but, you know, we've all been there and we've all learned that you can live in New York on that, especially on Goodwill. So this Saturday at Hope Lounge, starting at 5 p.m. and going all the way to 4 a.m., we will be doing a fundraiser, the third annual Craig Murphy fundraiser. That rolls off the tongue. And I believe it's going to be broken into two parts.
Yes, we are doing the, I guess, the 5 to 10 sort of food daytime. We're going to do a hummus cook-off. If you go to Craig Murphy, and that's with an E.com/hummus, you can get all the details for the hummus cook-off, which big shout-out to Jim and Esther and Eliz for helping organize that. And Kathy Irway, yes. The lovely Kathy Irway, for helping organize that. And then from 10 to 4... we drink and we dance and we celebrate our friend.
And there'll be donation buckets like last year, and proceeds from the bar will go to it. And I believe we've raised a chunk already, and we're getting as close as we can. So also,
let's not forget raffle.
Oh yeah, we have a huge raffle this year.
Huge,
which raised a ton of money last year. Aleeks, big shout outs to organizing that.
But we have gifts, tattoos, T-shirts, Brooklyn Bowl.
Skateboards, I believe.
Skateboards.
And if you can't come but you feel the urge to donate, you can write us music@FOTPNYC and we can set you up on it. Just to go back, because I always like to clarify a point on food security and what you guys do. And the big thing that really ties into heritage is that you're not just advocating people getting fed. You're advocating eating well, right? So canned goods are not really they are kind of not shunned, but it's more like farm fresh EBTs at mm-hmm. green markets type thing. Could you expand on that a little bit more?
Absolutely. There's a lot of great stuff going on. And I think one of the, I was just talking before the show, one of the reasons that I do these things is to really bridge kind of what's been known as the food security movement, concerned about hunger, making sure people eat, period, with the community food movement. And we're here in Roberta's, and there's this amazing, you know, restaurant model place, and everybody's eating really well. And it's really important. And that side of it's been, you know, historically focused on environmental concerns, labor concerns, making sure that the food you eat, you can feel good about it, you know, not only health-wise, but also socially. And really, those two things aren't separate. I mean, if you think about what we do is try to provide ways that people can, even though they are food insecure, have access to that good food world. So things like you were mentioning, the city has a Health Bucks program where you can use your EBT at a lot of different participating green markets. And actually, beyond that, you get a reimbursement of almost 40%. So it's an incentive program to say, look, you know, you're having trouble affording food right now, you're on EBT, but that's no reason to assume that you can't partake in this beautiful, you know, local food. So there's kind of ways that you can bridge the gap between the two, and there's a lot of great work going on, and that's kind of what we promote.
I mean, Craig always would have just, and this is, what was weird is that I didn't, it wasn't until this year that, like, looking back on the times we spent together, what I didn't really know what he was talking about, and then I started talking about it, and I was like, oh, he was so ahead of the game, because he would be like, yeah, I went up to this farm, and I came back, and you come back with just, like, bags of spinach and lettuce, and I was like, okay, cool, and I didn't yeah, really, but I didn't really get it, and now it just, it makes, he, by the way, he made the best salads.
Yeah, he's like, I made this 14-ingredient salad.
Vegan salad.
And everything was picked yesterday, and we're like, Craig's weird.
Yeah, Craig's weird. And now, you know, we're all kind of playing catch up to it. But it's really an interesting movement where, mm-hmm. you know, I think in the past it was kind of just, you're right. It's like, you know, farm fresh and, you know, getting people to eat, and all these ideas were separated. And now mm-hmm. I think we're seeing with our generation or the people above us who started this, they're seeing like, these are not mutually exclusive ideas. These all can and should work together.
And they actually, I would argue that they can't work apart. I mean, there's kind of this mythology within the kind of organic, you know, local movement that if we just buy more organic stuff, then somehow the food market will rearrange itself and organic food will be really cheap and, you know, we'll all be living in, you know, sustainable paradise. But that doesn't necessarily work all the time. So I think one of the messages that's been communicated to middle and like upper income people is just buy more stuff. It's kind of like this consumerist message. And the message that's on the food security side is like, you need to organize and get involved in political activities to make this stuff more affordable for all people. And I think that's exactly where we have to learn from each other. Yes, you have to vote with your fork, but you also have to vote with your vote. And making sure that the social policies are there. I mean, one of the reasons why bad food is so cheap and good food is expensive is federal legislation, the Farm Bill. We subsidize corn, which then goes to sweeteners, and then you get McDonald's. And
just that, it's just that simple.
If you made an arrow.
I mean, sort of. It really is. I mean, I know you roll your eyes like that, but it really is. It's like you get a subsidy. Corn's really cheap. It's mm-hmm. filler, corn syrup. It's in everything because it's all about a bottom line. I mean, when we talked to Doug Gar, who helped write Stuffed a few weeks ago, it was the same thing. I mean, shifting food policy is totally insane because those who have the cheapest food can afford more lobbyists. I mean, they're mm-hmm. the biggest powers. I mean, you don't see heritage turkey farms with, like, you know, big lobbyists in D.C.
Yet.
But they're coming.
I think that's exactly true. And so, you know, mobilizing people who have access to these things to get involved in farm policy is going to be really key.
Where do we go? If I go, I'm inspired, I'm listening to this on my computer, where do I go to get involved?
I would say there's a lot of things you can do. First, come party with us this weekend, number
That's
one.
October 17th, 10 Hope Street. It's where we did our barbecues this summer.
5 p.m. to 4 a.m.
5 p.m. to 4 a.m. We'll be there, 11 hours.
There's a lot of great things that are going on, too. I mean, the Coalition Against Hunger promotes really kind of like asset-based volunteering, like professional volunteering. You have graphic design skills, web skills, etc. Go on our website, www.nyccah.org. You can get hooked up with that. But really, there's a lot of great organizing stuff that's going on in communities, too. One of the ones that I would throw out there for especially people in Brooklyn is thing called the Brooklyn Food Coalition, which is just people meeting in their neighborhood, in people's living rooms, and et cetera, talking about ways and building grassroots support for changing the way that the neighborhood eats collectively. And if you want to learn more about that, www.brooklynfoodconference.com, and you can get hooked up with a neighborhood group.
So these are all great, great places to start knowledge base. And, you know, also just get out. I mean, and even if you don't want to learn more, just go to a green market, you know, go once a week. If you go search on the green market or you search on any of these places, they're everywhere. Mm-hmm. I mean, and you'll be surprised. I just found out that there's one on Havemeyer and Broadway at that starts 8 a.m. on Thursdays.
Who knew?
And there's like just like five or six stalls. So I'm just saying it's one thing. So, Michael, thank you for joining us.
Absolutely.
You will be there on Saturday.
Oh, yeah.
And you stick around a little bit, hang out, eat some more. We just got a lot of pizza. I think they just brought two more pizzas as well. Justine, it doesn't have butter in it, so it should be a welcome change. No?
You're right. Yeah.
So once again, you're listening to Snacky Tunes. Big thanks to our engineer and producer, Jack Inzi and Rec Tech. Thank you to TechServe for sponsoring us. You guys are the best. Terry Dybalk, you doing good over there?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're good? All right. Stay tuned. Justine D is going to be on. And like I promised on the Twitter, we're going to be playing Drop the Lime's brand new single that's unreleased later today. So here we go. Terry Dybalk. We'll be right back. that, Terry. You are listening to Snacky Tunes. I am your host, DJ Never Forget, one half of Finger on the Pulse. That was just Terry Diabolik. He is plugging in some chords so we can get Justine D set up, and then he's going to tell you what he DJed. Or I can tell you, because he's still setting up. That first song was United Club Remix by Raw Man and Blanche. After that was Floor in Order by Pepe Le Funk. And then last was It's Only Love by Figure and the Sleepy Tea. Nice work, Terry.
Thank you very much.
Did you practice this week?
I did practice.
Sounds like it.
It's, you know, it's tough when we were doing the show. I really didn't get to sit down as much as the decks that I wanted to. But now that we're set up in the house and we have time, it's practice.
It's practice.
It's really, like, you get frustrated because you're up there and you feel the crowd. And then you go, flub. And then that's how it goes.
That's, anyway.
And you know who doesn't flub as a DJ?
Justine
D. Yes, and I just want to say that I think I've been asking you to DJ with us, for us, for a long time, and you were like, I'm done DJing. And I was like, I'm going to figure out a way. So all we had to do was build up this persona of food and music guys and then get a radio show. So boom.
Yeah. So Justine, welcome.
Thank you for having me, guys.
So we're going to skip the first time that we met. And we're going to focus on the second
time. We'll leave that to lore.
We'll leave that to lore. But the second time we met was when you were over at Studio B. Correct?
Was it? Yes. Yeah. I think I met you guys outside of Studio B.
Met you outside. Oh, I remember. I think I approached you. No, I approached you because it was when...
No. She approached us.
Fine. She approached us. And then it was actually for the Soul Wax show. And I was like, Justine, I know you don't know me, and I know when we first met, it was a really weird situation, but please walk me in. I promise to pay you, like, fine. Get here earlier next time.
Did I walk you in? I was in a good mood that night.
You were in a good mood. Okay. Well, because it was totally sold out. But that was many years ago, and many things have changed. So why don't you tell us, our listeners, a little bit about yourself and what you're up to.
Yeah. Well, some of you probably know me, I think, as the creative person behind Studio B. But after that, then I moved to a venue called Les Poissons Rouges, which is on Bleecker between Thompson and Sullivan. And I've been there for about a year, but for the past 2 years, I've been obsessed with baking. And this usually happened at home after working at a club for hours. I would go home and start to bake at 3 or 4 a.m. So it kind of turned into a therapeutic outlet for me. And about a year ago, I had toyed with the idea of going to pastry school. And I made the leap, and about 2 months ago, I started the classic pastry arts program at French Culinary Institute.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, and reading about you baking at home brings a smile to my face, especially because you set the, this is what I'm making, and then this is what I'm listening to right afterwards. And I've seen Pet Shop Boys, Beach Boys, Depeche Mode. I mean, you definitely have an 80s vibe when you bake. Any reason behind that?
I do. Now, I'm kind of reliving, I think, my high school years right now. The past few months, I've been listening to music that dominated my tape player.
Whoa.
Tape player.
Whoa.
In high school.
Crazy.
Do you still have, I think I actually stumbled across some of my old like tape mixes from high school. But I don't have a tape player anymore.
Neither do I. So it's kind of hard to listen to those old mixes. But basically, I do have a Twitter account. This is a new thing for me, maybe about a month or two old. But I started it shortly after starting school because I wanted to share with people what I was baking at home and at school and what I was listening to, because my two favorite things are music and baked goods. So I'm hoping to successfully mesh the two somehow.
So so you've been there for 2 months.
Yes.
Where kind of are you in like the skill level of, have you done stuff that has kind of pushed you, or are you still like on point with what they're teaching you?
I've done things that are extremely challenging. I kind of went into school with this lax attitude, thinking that it was going to be simple and peachy keen.
Or
and
a cakewalk, if you will.
Yes, I thought it was going to be a cakewalk. But after one or two weeks, I definitely realized that this is a professional school. It's for those who plan on having a very successful career in culinary or pastry arts, which I plan on doing, you know.
Any pastry school dropouts a la Greece?
Yes. 4 people dropped out the first month.
But wow. No refunds?
I'm not sure. I think you get a partial refund.
How long is the program?
9 months.
Wait a second. Why did they drop any reason?
Because I'm sure exactly what you just said. Like, oh, I saw it on the Food Network. I'm going to go make pastries. I think baking.
We had this conversation this weekend
that baking is probably one of the toughest things to do in the culinary world because it's so exact.
It is
like,
exact.
It's a science.
It's a science.
You know, when you do a pork chop, 2 minutes, 3 minutes, whatever. But like, you know, maybe a little bit more of this, maybe a little more of that. But
yeah, someone was trying to claim to us that baking was easier than cooking. I was like, I can put a little bit.
Are they a baker?
Yeah, or no? Yeah. They're, okay. Well, that's what I said. And then I was like, well.
No, you asked them. But
no, they said they weren't a baker. Okay. But they said that like their mom baked. And I was like, well, I guess if you. It's like, well, it's like playing the guitar is easy. It's like, well, was your dad a musician? Did you get taught lessons? It's like. Well, yeah, and I was like, okay, but if you put someone, if you start two people with, like, the same, you know, like, caliber of a human being, and you start one on baking and one on just, like, cooking, I think the person in cooking will be able to execute way more complicated dishes in a shorter amount of time than someone who's baking.
Definitely. Well, I mean, there's no room for error there. You know, you basically have to do everything to an exact T where I think in culinary, which I cannot cook savory to save my life, there's a lot more room for experimentation and for fudging around with I think the recipes. Whereas in baking, you don't have, I think, that luxury, you know.
I'm going to note that you just said fudging around. We got to get Justine.
No, we got a few minutes.
We got to get her set up.
Justine, what are, I guess, last question before we DJ, then we'll bring you back. What is your favorite place to... I guess eat pastries in the city.
Favorite place?
Cold, because I mean, you always take us when we had our business meetings to Le Pen Cotodon, which I could never pronounce.
That's not my favorite.
But you
place,
also have.
No.
We've also met for hot chocolate at City Bakery.
Yes, and I'm glad that you brought it up. Okay.
Her face just lit up. Oh.
City Bakery.
That hot chocolate.
I only get a couple things there, but I was just telling. My chef instructor just a few days ago that their pretzel croissant there never lets me down. It is a go-to practically every week for me.
I think more than anything else, consistency in baking, especially getting that same loaf of bread every morning, it's a crazy thing. I mean, there are stories you hear about bakers.
And it's hard to achieve. I mean, that's kind of what I'm struggling with right now.
Yeah. So. All right, so let's, Justine, if you want to, Terry, you want to show her how to set up. By the way, one of our listeners, Lucy, just wrote it and said that she has a tape player that you can have. So there you go. He's not listening because he's helping set up. Once again, yes, Terry? What? No? Okay. Once again, you're listening to Snacky Tunes. We are host Finger on the Pulse. That was just Justine D. We have thank you to TechServe and to Jack Tech, Jack Inslee and Rec Tech. And yeah, Justine is about to take this away. She's going to DJ for a bit, come back, wrap up the show. Then I'm going to DJ. Then we're going to call it a Monday. All right, how we doing over there? Good? All right, take it away.
See you. Thank you. to be broken. Feelings are tense, words are trivial. Pleasures remain, so does the pain. Words are meaningless and forgettable.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, listening to Snacky Tunes on HeritageRadioNetwork.com. That was just the lovely Justine Day playing some beautiful baking track.
Did you call me Justine Day?
I said D.
D, but Day. But I kind of like Day. It's okay. Fine. Thanks.
Justine, was that? Can you tell us what you played? Is that a little bit of your baking music?
Well, kind of. You know, I wanted to put together a set that centered around baked goods or sweets kind of being in the title, but I decided not to. I recently got back from Africa, and the songs that I played were some of the songs that we were listening to while on safari. So I thought it would be fitting since my mind is still somewhere, I think, in Africa right now.
You don't want to play like Toto or anything like that?
I don't own any Toto, Darren.
Okay.
Thank God.
Well, I'm just saying.
It's Terry.
Terry. Sorry, Terry.
It's fine. Anyway. There's a certain someone out there who would like to know what Terry's real name is, too. He who will not be named. Oh, stop. Anyway, so, you know, I was thinking about over the break. I think the one thing that I'm missing from your tweets are accompanying pictures, like beauty shots.
Yes. Well, you know, I post those to Facebook, but I don't do it to my Twitter account. But I'm starting to. I just opened up a TwitPic account, so I will be including photos of all of my baked goods.
Okay. Are you excited to show the world your baked goods?
Of course. I'm killing it in school. I'm getting grades in the high 90s.
So high 90s?
Yes, high 90s.
What about this? I'm going to float up through you. Justine Delights. Or Justine Delectable
That
treats.
Needs a little bit of work.
Okay.
But it's, thank it's, you for
it's,
the...
It's a workshop.
Thanks for trying.
I guess one last piece of advice for anyone who wants to go to baking school. What is that?
I would say to go into it with a very serious attitude, and it also helps if you do not have a full-time job. So try to do it.
How many hours a week are we talking?
I'm in the night program, and it's really a total of 21 hours in school per week, but practicing on your own, you should really be putting in the same amount.
So this is a good thing to do during a recession.
Exactly. But unfortunately, I have a full-time job. No, fortunately,
yes,
I have a full-time job as well. I'm sorry. So I have an extremely full schedule with work and school.
And then anything you want to promote coming up at the club? Anything coming up you want to?
Well, we have a pretty full lineup for CMJ. One show that I'm really looking forward to is Broadcast and Atlas Sounds.
Whoa.
Yeah, I believe it's October 20th. Hopefully I'm right, but you can find out exactly on lprnyc.com.
Awesome. All right, well, that kind of takes us to the end.
Justine, picture. Thank you so much.
Thank you, boys.
And Michael, thank you.
Of course.
Once again, the third annual Craig Murphy Fellowship fundraiser is this Saturday. Hope Lounge, 5 p.m. to 4 a.m., if you want to donate and you can attend, music at FOTPNYC.com. We'll set you up with all the information. I'm going to take us out, but I just want to say the two tracks I'm going to play is the first track is the new song from Ellie Goulding called Under the Sheets, which is off Neon Records. And if you just Google Neon and Ellie Goulding, you will be able to download the track for free. Big ups to Derek, who has done a great job. He put out the first Pasha Pitt single.
Awesome.
And I can't remember, but I know he's had like a million first steps. Oh, and he was the first one to tell me about Theopolis London way before anybody else. So Derek has got a great ear, so you should read his blog. He used to do God
airstrikes, something like that. God, We Airstrikes, which he stopped doing just to do the Neon Records blog. And then the last song we'll play will be the new Drop the Line single, Set Me Free, featuring Kerry Wilds.
Awesome. Also, big shout out today to Jack Inslee and RecTech for producing and engineering the show. Thank you to TechServ as always. And big, big shout out to Roberta's, who keeps us full and our guests full every Monday. Tomorrow night, Tuesday, October 13th, come to Roberta's, 261 Moore Street, for the farm fundraiser. Joe Bastianich will be here, 7 p.m., $150 ticket. Will not only help support the farm, but it's going to get you unlimited beer, wine, and a type of feast that only Roberta's can provide. This is Snacky Tunes. We're your host, Finger on the Pulse. See you again next week. Like all the boys before, like all the boys, 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 boys.